Your grandfather, what is your earliest recollection of him?
I was 6 or 7 years old. There was a family gathering in Taos, New Mexico. To the best of my recollection, we all went out there for the powwow. While we were there, Granddad carried my dad and my uncle. Of course, I had to tag along with Dad. And he carried us around and introduced the families to several of the Taos artists. I can't remember the name of the old Indian that we met with, but he either took a liking to me or Granddad bought a drum and a rattle. The drum was made out of an old powder keg, and the rattle was a tortoiseshell rattle. I've treasured those all my life.
Well, the drum is here.
The drum and the rattle are both here.
In this house.
In this house, and they will remain here.
Yes, yes, they will. Now, Steve and Jean, you jump in here on any of this. Your grandfather's education took place in a one-room schoolhouse in Indian Territory?
That's correct, and later went into Bacon, did a semester there.
He was influenced by Alexander Posey, who taught him about the Trail of Tears, and Indian leaders such as Sequoia and Sitting Bull, and those kind of people. And yes, he attended Bacon. Then he met somebody on a train ride to Bacon one day.
Yeah.
And who was that?
That was Belle Harlow. That was my grandmother.
So he met her on that train. She was an Osage soon, and they were soon married. I believe she was 15 years old.
Granddad was 18.
And then in the early 1900s, the federal government dissolved the Indian nation's land by distributing parcels in private ownership. So he was then how old? Only like 9 years old when he got his
allotment.
Very young, yes.
160 acres, which was about 20 miles southwest of Tulsa. And of course, his father acted on his behalf at that time. So then in 1905, drillers struck oil in the area. That's when he was about 15 years old. So it made him a multimillionaire by the time he was 20 years old.
Correct.
How much does luck play into all of this anyway, huh?
A lot.
Back in those days with oil, it was a lot of luck.
And you know, he was not an oil man. He was an oilman. He didn't go out there and prospect for it. He knew enough people that he knew whether you were going to have a good oil field, and he would get with you. He had 5 or 6 partners on Gilcrease Oil that started out. They moved into California first, then into Gladewater area. Of course, the Glen Pool, you know, that's where he started, where he got his money.
He had 32 producing oil wells by 1917. That's when he was financially secure and could begin to collect art.
Yes.
But have you guys ever thought about this? It came to a man who was very smart in the beginning. He could have gone into anything, I suppose, and been an outstanding person. But the luck in the oil, I mean, he could have frittered the whole thing away. We've heard of stories about people struck oil and they were poor within a year or two.
He was decades ahead in his thinking and in his writings. You know, he talked about so many things that it's hard to believe in that day and time.
Well, I was reading where he had to go to the oil well site, and he had to be there.
He wanted to be at every one when they came in.
We've got some old black and white video of one coming in. You would call it then a gusher.
Yeah.
Oil flowing out. He's there on the scene with them.
Or a blow, I think they called it.
Yeah.
I was at the last legal gusher in Kansas. I was about 8 years old, and Mom and Dad said I was running along with a shovel trying to dam the oil up.
Save money, huh?